Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
And Danger Boy does it! Second win on the year! Cooper Webb wins! We are tied at the top of this championship!
Yes, back again. Happy Monday, everybody. Filming a little bit later here today for Title 24 presented by NBC Sports. As you guys know, I'm Ricky Carmichael, got the best co-host in the business with Ryan Villopoto. That guy has been a man on a mission. We're going to get a quick rundown from him before we get going. Thanks, United Motorsports, Quadlock Case, Boxo USA, Dunlop Tires. We appreciate all of you guys and the great support. We got a special guest today a little later on in the show, so stick around and listen to that. I guarantee you, you will be happy and interested in what he has to say. He's this week's past Supercross winner at Foxborough. Cooper Webb, this will be his first time, I believe, on Title 24. So he has been kind enough to donate his time. So that's why we are recording a little bit later. But I'm excited to have Coop on, not only to ask a few questions for all of you guys, all of our listeners and viewers, but just in general to have good fun with him. So that will be a little bit later on in the show. So cracking right into it, RV, just to give everyone a rundown. Dude, you literally just got to your house from COTA. How was it?
I did, yeah. I just landed. It's been a long 5 days. I actually went on Wednesday, and got the full experience. It's an amazing sport. It's unreal how, you know, even coming from the levels of racing that me and you have raced at, we were just talking about it, and it's some high level, really, really cool racing. So I enjoyed my time, the 5 days there, all of it.
Hey, Glenn Freeboth was asking, how'd you like your mini moto experience?
Yeah, it was really cool. We went out and rode these bikes called the Novale, and they're a little Italian motorcycle. I put them up against like a TTR 110 or, you know, Yamaha 110 or any of the 110 bikes that are out there. Very sizable, just like that, but a lot of fun. Uh-huh. I was able to get my knee on the ground a little bit the second time out. So
yeah.
But yeah, they were a blast. I'm going to try to get the boys on them and see how they like it.
Obviously, it was slammed, huh?
Like, it was a really packed race from what I thought. And I got to go through, you know, obviously Yamaha Factory Racing's garage, which was insane. Also popped my head in the Ducati garage too. And man, just that's when you really get to see when the body is off those motorcycles, how impressive and state of the art these motorcycles are. I mean, I think, also, I just asked my kid, I was on the phone with Gage, and he's like, hey, how fast do they go? You know, what's the speeds? And I'm like, I don't know. I looked over at Randy Mamola, and I'm like, I don't know, 220. And I think he said KTM just hit like 217, I believe. I don't know what track, but, you know, it's a great form of racing.
Dude, hey, plenty fast enough with no roll cage around you. That's for sure.
That's right. No, it's insane, dude. It really is.
Hey, it's been a hell of a season for Monster Energy Supercross. We've had some great topics to talk about all season long. And there's only four races left. Jet Lawrence has lost 16 points in the last two races. I know you watched and caught up with the results from Foxborough. We'll talk to the winner of that with Cooper Webb a little bit later. But before we get into our deep dive with the 450 class, your thoughts on Foxborough as a whole and what you thought of that weekend.
I mean, you couldn't ask for any more as a fan, right? We're going in, like you said, with four rounds left, and we have a tied point situation. Mm-hmm. It's Coop Road one great race, put himself in a great position, as we saw. We'll get into it more, but with Jets, you know, really the start wasn't there. It put himself in a very vulnerable spot, being that he only had eight points coming in, and now we're sitting tied. So,
right.
It's really interesting. It's getting, it's going to be an amazing finish to the series.
Yeah. Did you know that there was supposed to be a lot of weather coming in, and it rained a bunch Friday. Like, it was super damp. SMX Track Crew had it covered, like they have been. Seems like that's been the way it has been majority of the outdoor events this year. But did you feel like, based on what you saw from the race, you feel like the track shaped up pretty good for as much rain as they had, or how it was supposed to be, how the forecast was supposed to be?
Yeah. Honestly, I looked at it and, you know, watched the builds happen through Corey's Instagram over there at SMX Tracks. And it was wet. They had the track covered. And seeing practice photos and video of guys that lost it and kind of jumped off the berm and landed. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I saw Gavin Towers do that in the Futures class.
Yep.
You know, and just sink the bike, lose the bike, you know, get a piece of equipment to get it out. So
Hammaker did it too.
Yeah. Hammaker did it too. I saw, you know, so for the track to be as dry as it was in the end, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I thought they were great. It promoted good racing conditions too, very technical, but it also mm-hmm. had cushion for the guys to go to that wanted to kind of ride those outsides.
Yep. Yeah, I thought it was a great racetrack too. I actually thought that it was a little bit better in practice because it was a little bit ruddier. Guys were doing different variations, different combos in the rhythm sections. And I'm like, oh man, after qualifying practice, I'm like, this thing's going to be awesome. But because of the great work that the track crew did, it got to where there's more of a dominant line for everyone. I felt like it didn't have quite as many options, but they were working as hard as they could, to make it a great racetrack, which they did, but it took a little bit of the option out, like how it was in practice. That was that question was from S Reitz 711. Dude, United Motorsports moment of the week, just an incredible win by Cooper Webb. He ties up the points because of that. If you guys haven't been over and checked out United Motorsports, go over there. Your initial sign up, you get $15 towards your purchase, and every week they're picking a lucky winner. So make sure you check them out. Everyone likes a little discount and a credit, if you will. So get after it. Do it. And thanks, United Motorsports, for all your support. If you're in the Kentucky, Ohio region, check them out. But so you look at Cooper Webb.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think, from your expertise analysis, dude, like how do you do it? Walk us through it, bro.
I mean, look, I think it's he was coming down to the end of this series, so he had to make something happen. And, you know, I know I think he was one that mentioned, you know, the start, is it like more of a starting race, starting game? More now than it ever has been. And look, it worked into his favor. Yeah, Eli got a phenomenal start. Coop, and I just think that he showed up ready to go. Like Coop's a gamer, right? That's where I think the difference is, not difference between Jet, but I think that Coop knew he had to make something happen, and he's good kind of with his back against the wall.
Yeah, I mean, and he executed a great start there. And I feel like when I was watching him RV, and he did it in the, I think it was the second or the last final time qualifying practice, he came out and put in a ton of, may have been the first one, I can't remember, but he came out like, and he was super aggressive. Like, it seems like he's making a concerted effort to come out and put a bunch of fast laps in early rather than taking a few laps and warming up and all that stuff. So you could see that the intensity was there. And then, of course, the starts were there. But a lot like you said, I mean, his back's against the wall at this stage, and he has no other chance. And you said, like, he's going to have to win. He's going to have to beat Jet for sure. So it was Webb versus Sexton on the last lap. And, you know what, was there ever a point in time that you thought that maybe the one had something to beat Cooper or no?
Well, I mean, look, he bridged the gap to him really, really nicely. He rode a good main, obviously big mistake right there, what we're watching on the replay. I don't still think that if that mistake wouldn't have happened, do I think he would have got him? I think Chase takes too long to pass riders, mm-hmm. and that's what we saw with Kenny too. If he would have been able to get through Kenny much quicker than he did already, he might have, you know, he would have put himself in a better position to have more time to work on him if he needs to take that much time to pass somebody. And then let alone, you know, that's Kenny, try to pass Coop. Coop, I think, is on that next kind of level there, you know, where you're not going to pass him. So I hate to say it, but you know, let's we don't want to have another Dunge out there, you know, that takes a long time to pass, you know.
No, yeah,
I'm joking. Well, you know, but that was one of Dunge's I think faults at me racing with him, is he took too long to pass, you know.
Yeah,
too conservative.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean,
a little bit of
yeah.
that from Chase.
100%. I said on the broadcast, and I got like, he needed to make that pass straight up probably five laps before that. And I understand like him and Kenny are friends, and I'm guessing, so maybe he was being a little bit lighter, nicer to him because of that. But I saw like, and I was talking to one of the KTM guys, I saw several instances where he could have been a little more aggressive with the pass to get by. And it was, as we're watching, this is when Sexton was behind Kenny, but it was where I noticed it was like coming right here. He could have darted to the inside, made a move. And especially right after this on off, had he gotten a better run right there, he could have made a move. But I liked, like, he should have set him up right in that corner before the sand. I think he could have taken a wider entry and cut down right here. Was another area that 180 after the first rhythm lane, he looked like he was eyeing him up. And I'm in the booth. I'm like, oh, he's going to get him. And he never really pulled the trigger. Yeah. And I think to what you're saying exactly, he just waited way too long, and it costed him the win. 100%. I don't care what anybody.
I 100% agree, Ricky. And that's the thing, like, especially when you catch somebody fairly quick, you need to capitalize on that speed that you have, that closing rate on him, so that he doesn't know where you're fast at. Where can he block the line? Where is it getting, you know, a little bit louder? Like Chase right there, almost jumping off the track. Like right there, I felt like he could have forced the issue, but he didn't. That was his moment, but that was after, you know. And then finally, he does get by him. But I like Chase's lines through this whole center part of the track. He was working the outsides more. You know, then I think than a lot of guys have been, especially this season, you know, giving himself that opportunity to hopefully find a hole.
So Webb beats Roczen and Sexton straight up. Okay. And Danny Bolton, a loyal listener and watcher of Title 24, asks, what, like, where do you think Coop's better right now? Cause he had the fastest lap in the main event, by the way. I know he had a clear track, but before, even when he's won, I don't believe he's been the fastest guy on the track. So like what's he doing? Is he just riding perfectly, or like why is he so much better? Is it just because he's a gamer?
Well, I think like I'd mentioned, his back against the wall, I think I was a lot like him in the sense, like, I wasn't going to go any faster than I had to. And like, I think he's tried some different scenarios. They're like, you know, starting off the season a little bit slower, and like, he hasn't been like, his middle and beginning wasn't very strong. And now it's like, dude, to make these points up, to be in the position that he's in, I think you're also just seeing that confidence level rise, and he's riding a lot better, which is, he's a little bit quicker. Like, he's made up those 2-3 tenths in spots where that Jet has had on the whole field, most of the series so far. So I thought that night, you know, Saturday night when we were watching it, it was, he made that difference up. And I feel like now it's going to be really interesting to see what happens these next four races. Can he sustain that? You know, we have, looking at the points right now, 261, we're tied 261. Chase is 15 down. So, you know, I mean, like I said, it's a two horse race right now.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Jet or you're Cooper, I mean, you're wanting Sexton to get in between there and build a gap in the points. Hey, with Coop tying it up, like at this stage in the game, do you feel like in playing the mental card here, do you feel like that he's, because he tied it up and he's doing so well and Jet has been struggling, you feel like there's a chance that he may be in Jet's head or not?
Yeah,
so
I like that. If I'm Coop, if you ask me which position would I rather be in, I think that I'd rather be in Coop's position. You have made those points up, you know, and then you have Jet that was leading. So now he's thinking in his head, like, man, I've lost all these points. So I just think it's a better position to be in. Mm-hmm. And Jet's going to have to ride, you know, nearly perfect, and not put himself in these positions anymore to beat a guy like Coop, because this is Coop's strongest. I think this is one of his strongest, things he has to offer. And mm-hmm. I also don't think Jet has raced anybody like this, like with the confidence and how Coop is a bulldog, you know, in the end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, that thanks Josh Reynolds for that question. For this next one, I'd like to answer this one. Cubs from Hayden. Does Cooper feel more pressure now that the points are tied? And I personally don't feel like, and it's basically copying exactly what you just said. I don't think that there's always pressure to win, but yeah. I don't feel like Cooper is feeling the pressure like Jet is. And the reason that I say that, number one, he's been in this position. He knows what it takes. I feel like the more years you get under your belt and you're a veteran and you've done this before, it's not necessarily about pressure. It's just making sure you go out there and do everything you know what you need to do to win the damn championship. And I feel like that's why I feel like Cooper doesn't have any pressure or doesn't have the pressure that Jet does. So, I mean, that's what I think. I think it was basically Jet's to lose, and he's lost a lot. And quite frankly, other than Coop and his loyal fans, I don't know that anyone thought that he would be done as well as he has. Dude, he's won 4 races.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, for sure. And also back to that, it's like, it's familiar. Like he's not that Jet hasn't won his, championships before. And, you know, on the other side of the pond and a bunch here already and 22-0. But, you know, I think if Jet fans and myself, and maybe even you, Ricky, like I know, we know there's a lot that can happen, but like when he was sitting 21 points ahead, I'm like, dude, I'm thinking this could be over, you know, like
I was
consistent, you know, he's going to win 3 or 4 more races type thing. You know, that's what I kind of thought I had, you know, but I also had hopes for the other guys to bridge that gap, you know, like, just like we saw the Barcia and Jet incident. That's what I think really snowballed, what we're kind of seeing too, because going from the points gap that he had down to 8 and, you know, it puts, mm-hmm. you know, it does put more pressure on you, because, you know, when you go to the race, you're like, man, I need to clean my game up.
I think there's so much speculation. We can sit here and try to guess who's going to win Nashville and who's going to win Philly and Denver and Salt Lake. And I've gotten to the point this year, RV, where I'm just going to sit back and let it play out. Because if I can make a fair argument for Coop, I can make a fair argument for Jet, I can make a fair argument for Sexton. Mm-hmm. Those three front runner guys, both of why they could win, and I could also argue why maybe they won't win. Mm-hmm. I think all three of those guys have a fair argument on both sides of the aisle, I feel like. And
I agree.
Hey, Gypsy Tales. Appreciate the love, Gypsy. He asks, does Cooper's performance this season make him one of the best Supercross racers ever?
I mean, I would delete the ever part, but it makes him one of the best, you know, Supercross racers to ever do it. Yes. So yeah, he'll be. I think when he is done, we don't know exactly, right? You know, I think he'll go down in the record books, mm-hmm. you know, and Hall of Famer, you know, when his time comes up.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Moving over to Jet, let's break down his stuff. Since we talked about the winner already for our Boxo breakdown. If you haven't, go to boxousa.com, and they got some great stuff on site. They got a whole bunch of things. You get the Moto Box. You can buy five drawer is nice because you get it an extra drawer. But go check them out, boxousa.com. Getting into that. Ryder Green, hey, do you think the Yamaha team planned to try to punch Jet off by lining up next to him? Do you think there's any strategy there?
No, I mean, look, I think knowing the way Coop is, I think that might have been, you know, one of his little, you know, call it head games. You know, I don't. Yeah, it very well could have been a very good rut too. And he's like, you know what? It's right next to Jet. And he goes, I'm going to go right next to him. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to do anything in particular other than line up next to him. And sometimes that can rattle a guy just enough to get his jump off.
Right. DP Gill, if Jet doesn't get the best gate pick, is his formula less effective of whole shot and control?
Pick, maybe start.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if Jet doesn't get the best gate pick, is his formula less effective of whole shot and control? So I guess,
I mean, anytime you pull the whole shot, you control the race, and especially somebody in his position, like, you know, it's unless a mistake comes from him, we have not seen him get caught and passed. So yeah, it works. But anytime you start as far back in the field as you did with this field that we have right now, you know, you're not going to come back to the front and win the race. Now back to the podium, you know, that's what you ultimately hope.
Yeah. Do you think that did you see a couple times Jet was turning down early? Did you see where he turned down early in front of Eli after the whoop section
right
there? That was great heads up riding by Eli. I think mm-hmm. Eli probably anticipated that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the first time that we're seeing, like, you know, not first time, but like the more and more these guys race Jet and he's back with these guys, they're like, they don't have a lot of time around him. Like Eli has around maybe Chase or, you know, some of the other riders, Kenny, yeah, for example, like they've been racing each other for a very long time. And you know how somebody races.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, you know exactly kind of where somebody's going to go, where they enter the turn, where they're going to exit, you know, because you spend so many laps around them in those scenarios. I think they're going to get better at the heads up riding part.
Yep, you know. I agree with you, and they're gonna know, like, so what you're saying,
Jet's
RV.
Good at, so you better be ready for it now. Like, he does it a lot, you know. So that's something that Eli would have in, say, you know, another 30 races, be like, okay, well, I gotta put myself on the outside of him just a little bit so that it doesn't come down in front of me.
Right. Hey, tons of fan questions this week, obviously, about the drama and just what went down. But I wanted to ask you this, and Jason Thomas, our on track analyst, he mm-hmm. was talking about on the Pulp MX recap pod, and he's like, okay, who would you rather be right now? And I'd like to ask you this: who would, in this position, would you rather be? A guy like Cooper Webb, who has the experience, who is steady, solid as a rock, really good at the end of the races when the track is completely torched? Or would you rather be a guy like Jet Lawrence, who has speed on his side, and you have basically everything, just not the experience of winning a premier class Supercross championship? Like, who would you rather be in this situation?
I mean, I
both, you know, guys.
Yeah, both guys. I mean, they're both really good, great. You know, so I think right now, like I had mentioned, I would rather be sitting kind of in Coop's position where I've closed these gaps. You know, a little bit of luck has been with, like I said, the Barsha and the jet incident. That was a call it a little bit of luck on his part, or in the situation, really getting a big chunk taken out of the points there on jet. Mm-hmm. And then obviously this start. So, we know they're both decent starters, you know, like but I think that where Jet's at right, or where Cooper is at right now, or Coop is, I think that that's where I would rather be. I feel like, especially also, like I mentioned, him being the dog's backed into the corner and he's going to get aggressive. That's mm-hmm. That's where the longevity, the maturity and the veteran comes out. This position's familiar for him.
Yeah, definitely. Like if he, 100%, he knows exactly what to expect. He's been in this situation before. And I go back to like my days, like of that year that Reedy was so much faster than me in 2003 towards the end. You know, I was lacking speed, but I felt like I was a little more solid, definitely at the beginning of the series. That's how I was able to win because I made less mistakes at the beginning and built a 25-point lead. Yeah. And a lot like towards the end. So being in that situation where Stu was faster than me, there's no shot I'm going to beat him, like just lap for lap on who's faster. The guy 100%, he was faster than me. But to what you are saying, RV, I liked, you know, my experience in the series, and I knew that I was going to be rock solid. I knew I wasn't going to ride over the edge, and I just, like, I was so in tune, and you lean on all that experience. So although I would love to have the speed, I like Cooper's position because of everything that you mentioned. And yes, Jet is fast and he's talented and he's going to win a lot of championships and races. Like, I know we're not necessarily beating him up on here, but we're being critical of him.
We are, but yeah, we are. And I think also too, he is the most mature and veteran rider at such a young age that we've seen in this 450 class maybe ever. So, you know, like you said, we're not taking nothing away from him. We're being critical on him.
Yeah.
And we've been in these positions. We were the rookie, and we also were guys that have been there for for a handful of years and
know right. what
the feeling is.
Yeah. Hey, talking to like Chase, you talked about a little bit. You think he wins? Amy Ertel asked, do you think that he wins if he gets by Kenny, say, five laps earlier?
I don't know. I don't
it's
think
hard,
so.
Hard, right?
Here's it's the other hard. Reason why I don't think he wins because Kenny does make moves back by, but Coop's another thing he's very, very strong at is coming back and striking back right after he's gotten passed. Before the guy in front that made the pass can get into a little bit of a groove or get a gap on him, like he strikes back right away. Then a lot of times throws that rider off, you know, that made the pass initially. So, I don't think he was going to get through, Coop at all. But I think he may potentially could have bridged that gap if he could have got closer, you know. And that doesn't say that, you know, Coop doesn't make a mistake as if Chase puts pressure on him and then he, you know, passes him and wins the race that way. But
I think, like, I was talking with one of the team members, one of the race teams, and we're talking about, like, why did he wait so long, you know, talking about Chase. And he knew that, like, Kenny and him are buddies. Maybe he was showing, you know, just being easy on him. But dude, so I was telling him, like, if you and I were teammates if me and Ivan were teammates, dude, and I'm trying to get by him and, like, I'm not asking him to move over, but if one or two laps go by and he's holding me up.
Yeah.
He's getting the business, dude, because like you, you're a dog, dude. You're going to rough a dude up to get by him because you know that you can't let this guy ruin your chances of winning. You know how precious those points are. And I would have moved him out of the way 100%. Sure. Get uncomfortable, make the move, and then it's over.
Yeah, and you got to make those moves quick, especially like I said, when he bridged that gap, it happened fairly. It wasn't like it took him laps after laps after laps to finally get to him. So he had a little speed on him, and that's when you got to make that move right away. Is once you bridge that gap, like right away, so they don't learn where you're going if you're on the outside here and the inside mm-hmm. here on the track.
Yeah, it's just like, dude, you leave the door cracked, and your mm-hmm. dog runs outside. You know, like they're just waiting, you know, they're just waiting. They're lurking like that door cracks open. I'm gone. Right. Yeah, and it's the same dude. It's the same thing. Right. It's mm-hmm. it's that same mentality. Do you think Anderson being in front of Jet in the last lap? Do you think because Jet was behind him, he fought any harder for that position? We're watching here. This is going to be the last lap for Jet. And Anderson, and I thought that Jet was going to get him. He came up a little bit short. He made a really nice move before the finish line. But do you think that Anderson raced a little bit harder because it was Jet, or you just think Anderson rode hard because, dude, he wants to do well?
I think it's both. I think he knows right now while watching mm-hmm. the replay that it is Jet behind him, and he's like, dude, I'm not letting this guy pass me. You know, and I also. Mm-hmm. think that that's a lot of his riding style too. You know, like he'll give you a fight. It might not be very long. Jason has that tendency to, like, you know, if he isn't not having the best night and guys are coming through him, like I've seen him fight like this for that last spot, being that we're closing down, it's on the last lap. You know, like,
right, what do you do right here? What would you have done?
I think that Jet needed to go in front of him quicker. Like he was trying to be nice about it and not get out there. Like, I not teed him up, but just when he started to rotate the motorcycle, have it go straight out a little bit more, so that when Jason came around the turn and actually got the bike turned and he's looking up, he sees a red motorcycle in front of him. Yeah. You know, that doesn't mean that Jason wouldn't have been able to stop, you know, uh-huh. but if you're trying to make that move, I know it was a fast section there. They were, that was a big berm, you know, that you're able to kind of mm-hmm. get into and come out pretty fast. So, mm-hmm. I just think he needed to get the bike out in front of him sooner if that was the objective.
Yeah. So explain right here. We're watching a replay. So tell me what right here. Go.
Yeah. Let's see. Like, right. Like spins it right and go farther out, you know, and the radius that he spun around, not as tight. So sweep it out longer. You can see where the rear tire spins. He kind of turned it around. Like I turned the bike around, boom, and go out a little bit closer to him.
Yeah.
If he was going to try that, right. Maybe it was, right. Maybe he, from his point of view, he didn't have that option, and that yeah. that was the right move.
It was a hell of a try. Yeah. I thought it was pretty good. It was
close.
Yeah, it was close, and yeah,
and that would have again, been for another point, right? We wouldn't be tied right now, and you know, who knows, that position right there could come down to change the result in the end.
It could. That's why I said, dude, I'm done speculating. Who I think is going to win. Again, we've both made fair points and arguments for all three riders. I think Sexton's there lurking. It's going to take a lot for him to win for sure, but obviously mathematically he's not out of it, and there are a couple guys, but at this level it's going to be tough for anyone outside of those three guys to really make it happen. So it's going to be fun. It's just sit back and watch, and you just, like, this is one of those years of you just sit back, watch, let it play out, and then expect the unexpected. It's like, I literally every time I'm up in the booth RV, I'm like, what is going to happen? Like, you think everything's good, then you hear the fan react, and then boom, they go to the cameras, and like somebody's laid out or down or having an issue. Mm-hmm. So it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, no, we can't predict anything, and that's what's so awesome about the racing right now. There's nothing short to talk about.
Dude, totally. So 250 class, finally, I feel like the ride that we saw Hayden do this weekend was what is certainly what I expected from him this season. It was it impressive? Yes. But again, that's where this is the guy that I was expecting all season minus the injury.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think we have all three, you know. I think the top three that I will mention and talk about also is Hayden rode phenomenal. Like you said, I also expected him to be further up the ladder, a little farther along than he is right now. This is the ride mm-hmm. that I was expecting also. But also I want to mention Cameron also. This is, I think, a bigger race for Cameron than even Hayden, because in Cameron's position right now, points leader, I knock on wood, hopefully it keeps going the way it's going, because I'd love to see him win a championship. This is something he struggled with, is dealing with like pressure and big crashes, or they're taking himself out of the series points. Right. So huge, big pass on BL right there, which is sitting second, and very consistent, smart, good ride. I don't want to say expect, but he has a tendency to make very big mistakes in these positions.
Yep. I agree with you 100%. What I like about Cameron, to expand on that, and the reason that I feel like you're explaining that to a T, is the reason he's not overriding like he's done in years past and got out of his comfort zone and just absolutely yard sailed. So yes, dude, he's happy. I'm not saying he's happy, but it's great that he takes these seconds. He lost minimal points. Yep. They have three rounds left. Nashville, it's a showdown. Salt Lake is a showdown. And so here's the points. Hayden is basically, he has to go out and win. He's going to need some help from the West Coast guys, or, he's going to need some help from a guy like Pierce Brown, Cody Shock. Bennick's going to have to get in there and have like a 5 point, 6-7 point weekend while he's winning. And I just think outside of the showdowns, RV, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for Hayden.
Yep. No, I think it is. His goal right now should just be to win out. Right. And where everything falls, but Cameron's been riding phenomenal. The consistency is great to see. And also Tom at only with his second season, right. Another super consistent ride, MXGP champ. So he's been in this position too, but learning Supercross is quickly I know he's rode it in the past, they tend to ride a little bit more than some other countries. He's picked it up very quickly, but you don't see the consistency so quickly in the 250 class. And then he's done another phenomenal job at that and staying in this title fight.
Yeah. Hey, I like this question. Josh Reynolds, again, this is why you got the nod for this. So because he asked, basically, because Hayden rode so well, and basically riding like he should and what we expect of him, do you feel like now there might be a little bit more pressure on McAdoo for that and where the points lies for the rest of the season?
I mean, as of right now, currently, yeah, anything can happen. But I'd be – number one, he's got to worry about Tom, because Tom's closest in points. So Hayden currently isn't really a target threat. Yes, do we have to keep him on our radar? Yes, but – Tom is closer, right? So that's where, no matter what, nobody in this position can afford a mistake. Hayden has to win out, and whatever happens. And Tom and Cameron also have to run three perfect races, right. Essentially.
There you go.
We're sitting right here with, like I said, Tom 4 points down and Hayden 13 down. So, like you said, a couple of these other riders jumping up there. Dax has been riding well. Max was, back in seventh. So hopefully, we'll see. He's somebody that can get in the middle of some of these guys up front there. So there's a handful back there.
The Hunter, yep, without a doubt. I like what you said, though. Everyone listening to this podcast, or you're watching it, what RV said is like, we're so caught up on, and I was guilty of it just now, talking about like, what happens? Is it like with Cameron? Should he be worried about Hayden? And you're right. The closest guy is Tom Vial, and the guy ain't no dude. He's legit. Two-time world champ. He's riding exceptionally well this year. He hasn't made hardly any mistakes. And he even said on the podium, he's like, he didn't feel good all day long. He wasn't vibing on the track. He just didn't have that feeling. So when RV, you know how it is, dude,
a third would have been a win. If he wasn't comfortable and didn't feel like he wanted to lay it out on the line and potentially lose a bunch, that's a win. When we talk about Ricky, and then we've all talked about it, me and you, when you put yourself in those positions on bad days and still are on the podium, that's what you need. You have to stay on the podium regardless of what you're dealing with.
Yep. If you got, if third is all you got, and that's all he had, dude, he took his medicine and he got it done. And that's what you can't do. Is I talked to the futures guys, Supercross futures riders, at their little seminar that they do always on Fridays.
Oh, cool.
They have like different people from the media talk to them, sponsors, and they'll have like a featured rider. Kenny's done it a couple times. AC's done it. Have you ever done it?
I haven't done it. No.
Yeah. So they asked me, Harv Whipple asked me to do it for them. And I did it. And I was telling them like what you can't do and what all these guys are watching is if you, you know, don't take a third place and make it a seventh place. And that's exactly what Tom Vial did.
Yeah,
it's like exactly. Third's all I got today. Third's that's all I got. That's
a perfect way to explain it. Don't take a third and make it a seventh.
Yeah, you just, yeah. So I'm like, that's what will impress guys in this paddock and teams in this paddock more than, you know, probably your third is just you got third and you didn't, you didn't overtry. Nothing wrong with trying, but just get that thing to the finish line. So it's going to be fun. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm excited for the showdown. We'll talk about that. I think it's anybody's game there. But looking forward to Nashville, let's roll that promo, Aaron. Here's what's on Motorsports on NBC. As always, it's Thursday, 2 p.m., SMX Insider with Weege and JT. That'll be on YouTube. Check that out. I know they're going to have some pretty cool interviews. And then Saturday, 1:30, race day, live qualifying, 1:30 Eastern, that is. That'll be live on Peacock. And then the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship in Long Beach. It's a doubleheader there. You got the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, 4:30 p.m. Eastern on USA. And then Sunday, the NTT series is going to Long Beach Grand Prix. You should go check that out, RV, by the way.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, go check it out. I think I'm going to
be at Glen Helen racing that YZ250 for the Fast House boys and raffling it off on Sunday.
I love it. I love it. So you got that. And then, of course, Nashville, 7 p.m. Eastern time, Saturday. It's going to be epic. Nashville Supercross. I'm excited for it. Remember, that's a with all the drama in the 450 class, the 250 class is going to be special. It's a showdown. So there's two more showdowns left. Again, it's Nashville and Salt Lake. So I think it's time we bring the guy in, Cooper Webb, winner of Foxborough.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
There's the man of the hour. What up, dude?
Oh, not much, man. Just a great Monday. Definitely after
like we're always giving each other crap. Was it a pressure-packed day today? Like, what'd you do? Like, just relive the win and just ease it on in, back it on into a Monday or what?
Yeah, man. We're back on the bicycle, back at the gym. We don't have the luxury like you to just roll out of bed and, you know, have the day off and everything like that.
Hey, I keep telling you. Hey, you got three more Supercross championships to live this life that I live, guy. Come on.
Yeah, I'm trying to do like a couple more. Man.
Hey, RV's just as gnarly as I am, dude. That guy, hey, his race bonuses were way more than mine were. So he's in a lot better shape than me, guy.
Baby.
I'm kidding. Coop, thanks for joining RV and I. I know you're always busy with other people doing stuff. And I know you have a busy schedule. And I know you had swim lessons with the little one, which, dude, I don't know. Do you really go and watch that straight up.
Yeah, man. It's
really,
as you guys know, you gotta
do that, man. Bro, I go to all that stuff, all the swim lessons, baseball practice, whatever it is.
I'm fully involved too, but like the swimming lessons was one of the things that got me. Because I called it controlled drowning is what I called it, dude. It's just like there was nothing fun about it the whole time, you know? And these little infants, you know, like
last year we started, and when she was a baby, it was pretty nerve wracking when they threw her in there the first few times. But now she's almost a year and a half, she's two almost, so she's learning to swim proper and she loves it now. She can't wait to get in the pool, so it's been fun lately.
That's hey, awesome. did you like the did you like the track this weekend, like from the get go or no?
Yeah, I actually did. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, we thought it was all going to be a mutter, which was nice that it wasn't. Thought layout was good. You know, I think it, as I rewatched it, definitely a little maybe hard to pass in some spots, but I like the options, especially in the rhythm lanes. You know, there was a lot of different options there. The one before the finish, there was three options. I thought the whoops were very raceable. I thought the track was a good track. It definitely dried out a lot though. That kind of threw me off guard. When we've raced there before, it's usually softer, a little more ruddy. When it was a little dry and slick, it was definitely a little bit off guard, but I thought overall it was good. Longer lap time too.
Did you ever triple out of that corner? Like that, do the 3-3-1 before the finish ever?
Not the main event. No, I never did in the main
event. Oh, you did do it though.
Yeah, I did it in practice, just the three-end part, and then I felt like they changed it a little bit. The face in the night show got a little bit lower, and it was one of those things like, man, it was pretty big, I'm not going to lie, you know, and there was a little bit of room for air if you cased it and then stuff like that. So I had a game plan, like main event, if I knew Jet and Eli were doing it, and if they were ahead of me, I knew I was going to have to do it, but luckily – put myself in a position to take the old reliable line, you know?
Yeah. Right. I never liked being put in that position with James, like, you know, sitting on the line. Yeah. Maybe you jump the jump once or twice, three times in practice. And then it, like, you know, this dude's going to jump it. And if you do, you have to jump it, you know? I'm assuming you don't like being in that position.
No, I don't. He just put us there a few times so far. So it's good for pushing the limits, but like you said, the risk versus reward sometimes. And I haven't rewatched the race yet, so I'm not sure. I saw he did it, you know, there, that last lap trying to pass Jason, but I don't think it was a line that he was taking, you know, every single lap. It looked pretty difficult.
It was good. Like the way Dirtworks built it, because when you jumped the triple, like when you had to double into the turn, right? Wasn't it a double?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a double into. That was a nice big 5-footer. So it really, like, you could see when you did the guys would do the chase, did it a few times, and was able to like close up mid, and then you'd hit that the double, which would totally blow your speed coming into the turn, and then you couldn't make the pass.
Yeah, no, like I said, I thought it was a really good. Like for us, it's usually we're always hitting the same rhythm lines, and it's kind of who can scrub through it the hardest. To where this weekend, those back to back rhythms, especially the one with the tabletop lane too, there was options there. I really enjoyed the track. I thought it was definitely raceable, and I know on the football floor it's hard with the 90s to make them work, but I felt like even the one this weekend with that outside or having the roller was a good play for sure.
Hey, I was telling RV before we got you on earlier when we were talking some stuff, and I felt like watching you guys in practice, Coop, that I thought that it had more options, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I thought it had more options in practice than it did in the race. Is that true? And if so, why do you think?
I think it's tough now with the video that we have and the Dartfish. I mean, it's
totally
crazy. You know, I can know before I even line up for my second practice, most of the time, what the fastest way around the track is. It's good and it's bad. You know, I think for me, it's easy if you're not picking up on something, you can watch it and learn. But if you do, if you have something, it's almost one of those things now where I think you kind of need to hold on to it until it matters. And I know, you know, like last year, I remember at Oakland, I had that line that I waited till the main event to do. It was like a quad over the table. And but like I said, Jet does that stuff all the time now, so it makes it tough. But I think that's the biggest thing, right? Is you see the guys that qualify well and you go, okay, that's faster. Or, hey, we can see it now on, especially with the dartfish, when you got the ghost and it pulls away from you and you can see bike lengths, you go, okay, you know, there it is. And, but yeah, I'm with you. It definitely changed, especially through practice. I thought the lines, like I said, were a little different. Some things were working for other guys. And then as the nighttime came around, I don't know if it just got a little drier or what, but it seemed like it, it kind of tightened up with what everyone was doing for sure.
I was thinking of, our conversation yesterday, but like, did you think when you first saw that first rhythm section, it, like, I don't know if you watched some of the other guys, dude, it was gnarly. Well, number one, your teammate had a gnarly get off. Mm-hmm. He had a hell of a finish too in the way. Yeah. Good job, Justin. Dude, that's to come back from that. He did a great job, but that thing was gnarly, that on off on that first section, bro. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. I mean, it's like, it was one of those where you're not thinking about it because you're a racer. But when you think back now, at least for me, you know, looking back, we were tripling onto that table on the left side. You know, you case that, it's not going to end well. And then I'm sure you saw, like with Justin's instance, you get in that pocket and you're carrying so much speed. And in a 450 main, the track goes away. They get kickers. And it's, yeah, you can see it right there. Like, there's nothing.
What happened there? Did he say what happened?
No, I think
did it have that gnarly of a transition?
It did, and it didn't. I think that's what's tough. Like, for us in the heat races, the track is deteriorating, but it's still pretty fresh. And it's like you're fighting that kind of in between stage. At least I felt like I was, because it looks like the track's really nice, and then you're kind of getting into those ruts from maybe earlier in the day, or you know, the soft spots that you can't really see sometimes. So that's why, I mean, I always enjoy the mains because they're rougher and, you know, everything's broken in by then, but you at least, it's more consistent by then. Even if they do some track prep, you kind of know the lines that are coming back. But yeah, that was it was definitely a tricky section, and it could go bad real quick.
Yeah, it looked gnarly. It looked to me like you just got a little bit of a kick or something. Like, but to your point of like how you jumped on there three and on and that speed into the pocket there, you know, like if you go a little bit long, you know, like bottom the suspension out, things like that, or if the dirt's a bit soft, those can be some scary moments.
Yeah, and little stuff too. Like we were talking, like even just coming around for the first turn, you know, we saw all night, like having a plan for that first rhythm was huge. You know, I saw it especially in the 2VD class. The guys would come out and not really know what they were doing, but we talked about like, hey, you need to go on the right side here because then you can just go on, off, or whatever the case is, to where you could see some of the guys would come into that section, especially when your hole shot device is down, like right here, you're like, what the heck should we do? And that right side seemed to work out pretty well, so. Just little stuff like that, or even in the heat race, like that same line that you just saw there, you're jumping that into ruts because they haven't fixed it. So you're hitting an on off with your hole shot device stuck. Like it's just little stuff like that, that as a racer and in the moment you don't think of, but now when I watch stuff back, I'm like, dang man, it's crazy what we're able to honestly get away with sometimes.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, is your boys still flaming me hard for calling it like, hey, Chase was gonna catch you? I never said pass you. They still giving me the business.
I'm sure, man. You know, you gotta watch what you say.
I don't know.
If you're on the web wagon, you're on. Either on or off.
They got rid of that that graphic or logo. Aaron, we need to figure out, like, we need to tell the people in the bus to get it back going, but oh, dude, I was telling Coop RV on the way home. It's like, yeah, I was strolling through X, and some dude's like, yeah, how about Sexton? You said, watch this, he's gonna catch him. Like, that's right. I said he's gonna catch him. I never said he's gonna pass him. So, of course, yeah. Coop is giving me a hard time for it. Hey, I wanted to ask you. That's right. Hey, I call it like I see it, bro. You might not like it, but I'm honest.
That's all right. At least you're honest. I'll take honesty all day.
Hey, when you're on the line, like that, like you guys are getting ready and you don't have gate work to do anymore outside of picking the stuff, do you watch the 250 guys, like the main events and stuff?
Yeah, I do. I definitely do. And you kind of watch throughout the day, but I like to watch a lot of that stuff, especially like we were alluding to earlier. It changes sometimes in the night show, maybe how they prep something or where the starts are coming from, little stuff like that, maybe some passing opportunities. So I'm usually
I was just curious, like if it's a good battle, you know, like if it's a good battle, I didn't know if you're like watching it and kind of it distracts you, takes your mind off of stuff. So you're not completely worried about the race that you have to race in.
Like, especially once we're on the gate, it actually makes it kind of nicer because then what kind of sucks for us is like we watch the beginning of the 250 and then we miss really a lot of it. And then we're down there for the gate. So by the time we get down there, sometimes you don't know what happened. Like for me, I didn't know Fortner crashed at Dallas. You know, you miss some of those key highlights and you're like, whoa, what happened since I've come from the semi to the gate? So I do. I like to watch that. And especially for me, I ride and train with all the Star Racing 250 boys. So like when they do good, feels good. You know, you're even though it's different and separated, like it's kind of cool to see your training partners and buddies do well. So, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I got a question for you, Coop. Obviously we know that Jet had a pretty or a big points gap. Like I personally like your position. How do you see your position right now? Like, you know, tied and not you're the one that's gaining the points and not losing, you know, and we all know that you're a dog and you've been in this position before. It's very familiar for you. You know, it's got to feel pretty good being in this position.
Oh, it does, man. Especially, you know, 21 was way like in my mind it was pretty far at that point, especially when you're racing Jet. And to be able to kind of bridge that gap in three races is huge. You know, granted, like I said, we had a few gifts, you know, but like I said, and I've been saying and telling the team and telling the guys, like, I've been here and I know at some point over 17 you're gonna have adversity, right? And he was able to click off those wins and really get the ball rolling. But as you guys know, you know, even if you're on, you're always going to have something, whether it's a bad start or mechanical or a crash, anything. So I just kind of held on to that knowing like, hey, I need to take advantage of his bad race. And I was able to do that, you know, the last few weekends. So I think that's huge. And for me, I always have always said, it's more pressure being behind, right? Because then you have to go and perform. Now that at least we're back tied, it's in this position where, hey, it is mano a mano, but there's still four races and you got to put yourself in good position over four. So I like that. I love the position I'm in. You know, to be in this position is awesome again. And especially after how last year kind of ended for me, it wasn't a great ending. So to be there and especially against Jet, as we know, he's a generational talent and, you know, kicked everybody's butt in outdoors. So it's good to just be in the fight. And especially this weekend, like I thought for me, it was a huge momentum thing, you know, like whole shot, lead every lap. I actually had the fastest lap in the main, which I was super stoked on. So we're getting where we need to be at the right time. Right.
Yeah. Totally. No, I think it's a great position to be in.
Do you think, like, do you ever sit back? I mean, or are you just completely entrenched in the championship, which is totally understandable, but you're a two-time Supercross champ at the premier level. And do you ever like think what's different outside of Jet speed? And you've already talked about his accolades. Like, is there anything different in this championship fight so far compared to your first two that you won? Or is it all hard in its own way?
It's all hard in its own way, but to me, this championship has been completely different. I truly felt, and even last year, you know, like I could have an off night and be third, and I could have a really off night and be fourth, you know, or be fifth. Mm-hmm. Now you can't have that. You know, I mean, it's as simple as if you're getting a bad start, you might not even get back into the top five. I feel like that's been the difference this year. I truly feel everyone is on top of their game. You know, I know we always hype that up and we talk about it's the most stacked field and blah, 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 blah. But I truly feel that, you know, like Kenny's been on a mission this year. You know, I feel like Eli from his injury, I know he hadn't had the success he wanted, but racing him, I feel like he's the same Eli. I feel like obviously Jet has really stepped it up and made everyone step up. You know, Chase is on it. Jason's on it. I mean, you can go on. And especially earlier in the season when everyone was kind of healthy and really felt like they were in the fight. I mean, it was no joke. And so I think that's what's been the hardest thing about it is there's been nights where I've ridden better than I have maybe all of 2021 and I got in fourth place, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I think that's when you look back at it, that's been the tough thing. And I think when you look at, you know, I look at stats a lot and just seeing, you know, we're pretty low scoring points overall this year.
Yeah.
And if you look at the big picture, and I truly think that's why, you know, there's been a lot of races where our managing nights are fifths, you know, and that's it can be a big point swing when you have a first to fifth, as you guys know.
Mm-hmm. Was that like you, RV, did you ever have a season like that? Like I know for sure I didn't, like where it was that deep. I mean, Coop, you've watched both of us growing up and all that stuff. I mean, it's no secret. If something fell, we fell down on the first turn. I mean, we're at least going to be on the podium, you know. Mm-hmm. It just, and it is, dude, it is stacked. All you guys are fast. 100%. That's myself personally. That's what I feel like is, it's pretty amazing what you have been able to do. Not, and the other riders have done a great job, but being in those different championship situations and knowing what it takes, it's been pretty remarkable. But like RV, have you ever been to where you're in that position or no?
I think I don't think as deep as this, you know. I think the deepest year for me, like, you know, I would say getting to a fifth, you know, fourth or fifth, nothing worse than that. You know, I think it was myself, Dunge, James, Chad, would have been
Kenny, probably 14.
Yeah. It would have been probably the deepest, you know, so four or five guys. And that's kind of, I see, you know, now the difference is, I mean, you have like 12, 13 factory bikes out there. Right. And they're all really good riders, you know. Not that they weren't back in the day when I ride.
No, you guys are bad dudes.
No, dude, Coop, but, I'm so pumped for you. Like, and I know you got a lot of criticism last year, and I don't want to go into a whole bunch of that crap. Just it's no one's business but yours. But I have to ask you this, and I've been curious, and I wanted to save this for when you would bless us with your time to come on this podcast. But I know you're one of the most confident dudes mentally out there, and I'll put you up against anyone in the field because of that. Are you surprised at how well you've done this year, or did you expect it to go as well because you had so much confidence in the program? I know you're confident in yourself, but the program in general.
I mean, I envisioned it, honestly. I did, you know, but it is when you look back at a whole, when you do make, and I'm sure it was like you when you made your change from Cowie to Honda and Honda to Suzuki, you have these envisions and these goals and you think you can do it, but it might not go that way, right? And I feel like for me, I was very confident in what I could do, but I was also very confident in this group of people. And I think for me last year, just racing Eli and seeing what I felt like sometimes what the bike could allow him to do, I just felt like, man, that's something that if I was able to get an opportunity there, that I'm going to make the most of it. And so I think for me, that was been a big thing, is just finding that comfort. And, you know, it was something where I won a lot on the KTM too. It was no secret when the new bike came out, I definitely struggled a little bit more than the older platform, but I was also able to win on it. So I think for me, it was just as a whole, you take a big gamble, you take a risk leaving, you know, established team that I've had a lot of success on to come to a team that I was on in the 250 class. So I did know it and I knew all the people. So it wasn't as big of a change as maybe like you did, RC, where maybe you don't know the guys. But I mean, to have it pay off and put this position, I mean, to have four race wins is awesome. To be at the red plate, like, it's pretty dang awesome. And especially, you know, I did race a few outdoors last year, and just seeing the speed and how freaking good Jet Lawrence is, like, it's definitely a good feeling to be where I'm at, for sure.
You feel, I think you guys have stepped up your game. Like, I feel like you and like four other guys, and I've said this before on the podcast, and I think I've even said it on the broadcast as well, Coop, like, I feel like you guys have more to gain and lose, or not more to gain by following a guy. Like, your level, like, if Jet was here, you guys have gone here. It's going to be harder for him to get up there. And it was like, I was that way with Stu. Like, I think definitely he forced me and Reedy to go faster.
You know, for sure. I
could feel my speeds get faster. You know?
Yeah. No, and that's where I'm at. And it's cool when I look back, like, I mean, it's pretty badass to say at 28, I'm getting better, you know, and I'm getting faster and I'm getting stronger and stuff like that. So I think it's cool. Like I said, as an athlete, as you guys know, whenever you can progress, it's a great feeling. And that's where I'm at now. I truly feel like I'm riding the best I have probably ever. And the experience.
That's amazing.
You know, but
RV, isn't that gnarly, RV? Like, you and I, we're just like, we're so fried and over it, like, at 27. And then, like,
you guys want a lot more than me, though. Fuck.
Hey, you know what? You trust the process, bud.
Yeah, you just got to trust it, brother.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I like I've said it on the show before, the jealous of guys that made the switches and noticed that they needed to change things up. You know, you were at Star, left Star, you know, went to KTM. Back, you know, so it's good to be able to see and recognize those, you know, things that potentially or will make you better, you know, because I was in that same position, you know, like, just kind of over it, burnt, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I called it instead of, you know, exercising other options.
Yeah, no, and I think it's like you said, it's tough, right? Because as competitors, you win, and that's the ultimate feeling, and I'd be happy going out on top just like that too. But I do think, like I said, for me, this year has been huge because it has been a huge reset. And it was something that, you know, like, I still, when I wake up in the morning now, I'm excited to go to the track again. I'm excited to go training and switch it up. And I was with you guys, you know, we all did that very good but hard program. And it's just one of those things. Like, I've said it forever. It was an amazing time. We had amazing results, but I just needed to have a change mentally, physically, because I was at that position too, where you gave it your all, and you just you have one of the two options. And I felt like I, obviously for me, I had a lot of redemption left in me. I didn't go last year and win the championship. So like I said, it's been a great change, and I'm stoked, you know, to be in this position, but also to be enjoying it is very rare, as you guys know.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it is. There's no doubt. Hey, before we let you go, and we appreciate your time, I want you to walk our listeners and people who listen to this podcast and watch it. I want you to walk us through the last lap and, like, and put your helmet on and say, like, okay, I need to do this right. I got to make sure I do this. Can you do that for us? Because I'm actually curious. Like, when you're in this corner, I'm like, okay, shit, I need to do this right, or I need to get a good exit here. Aaron, roll that last lap for him, and Coop, as soon as you go, take it away. Go.
Dude, I can't tell too much. You might have comp watching this, but no, I think
I know.
For me, you just got to be mindful of where you could get past. And as you saw there, I switched my line and actually made a little bit of a mistake. But I think it's just kind of your guard on the inside is a little bit tighter than maybe you would. Yeah. I actually didn't know Chase was doing that line, which when I watched back, that was a good line. It could carry a lot of speed, but I think you're just trying to nail your marks, right? It's like being at the end of a run and just that last tenth of a mile, just giving it your everything. And for me, that's kind of how the last lap is, whether you're out front or behind. You don't want to go over the finish knowing that you didn't give every piece of energy that you could, and then the last turn, I went inside just to make sure that there was no possible way. So I think that's it. You know, just trying to mentally lock in, but just go, all right, this is the last hoorah. Give it. If I have to puke over the finish, that's what we got to do, you know. But just giving everything you got.
Dude, how pumped? Hey, you said something on the podium. Like, were you pissed after you got that? You did really well in the whoops the last lap. Were you like, why didn't I do this the whole race? Like, it would have been like the result would have been not easier, but
yeah. I mean, it's tough
when that happens. Dude, that sucks so bad when that happens, huh?
Yeah, it does. It's you live and learn though, and that's where I've always, you know, it's no secret the jumping thing works for me really well, and I was trying it, and I saw the guys catching me, and it's one of those things where you're like, man, I haven't done it yet in the main. Do I switch to it or do I give up a few tenths to know that I can do this every lap? That was kind of my mindset behind it, but then when I did it, I'm like, damn it, idiot. You should have just skimmed the whole time.
Idiot move. You did idiot move.
Idiot.
You didn't want to change you didn't even want to explore a different line.
I know. I should have trusted Annie's been grinding, and I should have.
Oh. I'm glad she's on your tail and not mine, dude. Jeez. Jeez. I'm telling you. Hey, Nashville this weekend. I know you like that place. Let me talk about next year, but I'm pumped, obviously, to watch you guys. But, dude, I'm stoked for the showdown. We talked about you watching the 250s earlier. Like, are you pumped? Are you pumped to
I
see
am, man. It's always cool. Even as a racer, as a fan, you know, I think it's cool because, as you guys know, in the 450 class, you get a shootout every weekend. But the 250 guys, they're young. They're fired up. They want to be, you know, the bad boys. They want to have that bragging rights. So I think it'll be a really good show, especially with the personalities we have in the 250 class and the riders. I think it'll be actually a really sweet, sweet race. And with points being where they're at, it could be a very good night for some people, for sure.
Yeah, you were one of those guys who came down to East-West Shootout and you'd come and be a wrecking ball in there.
Yeah. young and dumb and just cocky, you know?
Yeah. That's right. Nothing wrong with it. Hey, if everything goes as you're hoping it, you need my Venmo so I can send you my cocktail tab for the weekend in Nashville or what? Just Venmo me.
Come on, guy.
I'm joking with you, dude.
That's the luxury you have. Like you said, you get to sit back in Nashville and
Your feet up. RV's wore out from being at MotoGP. He's got his restrictor plate on today. Trust me, this guy's got it better than this guy.
Austin will get you. Austin will get you, man.
I can see he's kind of, he's been muffled today. And so, hey, great job this year. Thanks for coming on, dude. I know.
Yeah, no worries, guys.
I know how precious your time is and days off and the championship grind. And I'm sure our viewers and listeners will really enjoy your insight and just our candidness today. And appreciate it, buddy. Good luck in Nashville.
No worries, guys. Right. Appreciate it. And always fun talking. And,
yep.
See you around Tally, RC.
Yeah, guy. If you need it, hey, everywhere I go now, you're like the mayor of the town. They're like, dude, who's that Cooper Webb guy? Who's this Cooper Webb guy?
I walk into the restaurants, you got your gold chair, your red carpet.
No, this guy.
The goat sighting. Everywhere.
Oh, come on. Dude, everywhere I go now, RV, they're like, hey, you know that guy, Cooper Webb? He lives here now. I'm like, yeah, I know him. Dude, the guy is unbelievable.
Hey, I still get your hand-me-downs, though. Everyone asks me, do you train at Ricky's? Yeah. I do.
Roots run deep in Tally, bro. All right, Coop, get back to it, brother. Thanks a lot, Coop. That was awesome. Thanks again, Coop. Heck of a job. That was a lot of fun. Hopefully our viewers and listeners loved that podcast. That was good. That's some great insight. And listen, dude, out of respect for him, I'm not going to go deep in the paint with him on a whole bunch of questions that he probably doesn't want to answer. I want to keep it lighthearted for him, but we appreciate you, Coop. Hey, last segment of that was our Dunlop due diligence segment of the pod, getting Cooper on and asking him those questions. But the last one is our favorite one, second year in running, not our favorite, but one of the best ones. Quad lock case question of the week. The winner is JT Merp 02. in your era, which competitor was the best at getting in their opponent's head and why? You want to go first or you want me to go first?
I'll go first. Yeah.
Go for it.
I think in my time, and it was only a short time that, but Jason Lawrence was one that was really good at it.
Really?
Jason Lawrence? Yeah, I remember with him and Dunge, like he could get into do.
Oh, his. I thought like I was thinking your head.
Oh
like,
yeah, not. Oh, they're okay. If you're asking me, he was. I thought the question was referring to just who was good at that game in general.
Oh, maybe it is. So okay,
but yeah. So Jason, you know, like that was he was really good at it. You know, Lawrence was one of the best at it. But for me, I would say.
Oh, Jason Lawrence. I was thinking of yeah, got it.
Yeah. So
yes.
I would say, I don't know, between Chad and James.
For me, it's Chad, hands down, over James. And the reason that I say that is because Chad, in my time, I don't know how he was in your time, RV, so, and you can explain it, but he didn't even play games It was frustrating is just how, like, when you thought, okay, I have him covered tonight, then it, all of a sudden he just is just all up your rear end and threatening you for the win. And it just used to work on me a little bit, you know, and it was so frustrating. And he was just, you knew he was consistent. You knew exactly what he was going to get for the most part. And he was one of the toughest competitors. And he was so good, I feel like, at talking himself into winning. And you've explained that like about Dunge a little bit, like don't give that guy an inch.
Yeah.
Right. So, for me outside of that, I think there wasn't really any guys that got into, others' heads. I mean, you know, no one like, Jay Law or it was different. I think before my generation, though, I think there were mind games being played with like Fro. He would show up all black gear at Troy, Ohio. You know, maybe MC would play around in the mental game. But man, I don't. Other than like someone purposefully doing something mentally to get in anyone's head, not really.
That doesn't really happen that much. Like a very odd few. You know, like in mine, it was Jason. You know, and. And dude, he won a championship out of it. You know, he was able to rattle a cage enough to, and it was like up against Dunge, you know, and it ended up working, but it doesn't work long term, you know, that's for sure, you know, because eventually you're gonna be somebody it doesn't work on.
No, it doesn't. And at the end of the day, and I've always said this because people I'm sure have said, oh, RV, you were playing head games with this dude. Like, no, I wasn't. I promise. At the end of the day, you want to mess with someone's mind, you go out and win.
That you can play. You play mind games with them by, you know, at the 22-minute mark, 25-minute mark where, you know, they might drop half a second and you, not to say even went any faster, but just sustained it or maybe threw in there with one or two laps to go, like the fastest lap of the race. That right there is mind games. And that comes from, you know, like putting the work in, because that was, I think, obviously coming up through, you know, you're the one that really kind of started this whole trend of like I don't want to say real athlete, but it became physically as demanding off the motorcycle. Like, you know, before guys just used to ride a lot. Yeah. There were some that trained like Wardy. I'm not taking all the guys out of the mix, you know, but we're so much more educated now. And you kind of started that, you know, and then obviously
progression.
The progression. That's when it really started. And everybody had to get on board if they wanted to be lined up on the gate.
Hell, I honestly, had I not done it, I was just trying to find ways to beat MC. Yeah. I mean, I was like, dude, I have to evolve somehow. Otherwise, I'm not going to be the guy to beat him. He'd probably been 10 times Supercross champ. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was just that good. I'm like, I have to recreate myself and be better. So, yeah, that's a great question. I like that, JT Merp. Appreciate that. Slide into the Title 24 Instagram DM. JH will pass you along to Quadlock. Corey from the SMX track crew. JH said he's getting your Quadlock stuff for you. He was handling yours personally.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyhow, thank you, everybody. Before we go, as always, thanks United Motorsports. Quadlock Case, Boxo USA, and Dunlop Tires for all of your support. We appreciate you. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the ride. Remember, you can always check us out on Motorsports on NBC's YouTube page. We're on demand on Peacock. Want to go back and watch some interviews from the past? Eli was a good one. Mm-hmm. He put on a good interview, so you can go back and check past past episodes. So check that out. And then, of course, we're on all of the applications for apps. So give us a listen. But we appreciate you guys. And RV, you've had a hell of a run. That's as far right. as these last 5 days. I can tell you're tired. I want you to go enjoy your family. Go enjoy those sweet little boys you got there.
That's
and
right.
We will see you next week.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.